of God. Let's read from Proverbs chapter number 11, starting with verse 23. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that which holdeth more than it is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that wandereth shall be watered also. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. I want to talk tonight, of course, as we've been looking at these verses, what they mean. There's a couple of them that we tied together here under one subject tonight. And as we look in the book of Proverbs chapter 11, we continue to learn how God wants us to live through individual opportunities that go through all throughout our day. How are we to respond? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we could study the book of Proverbs. Guide us, direct us, and help us to understand what you have for us. And help us to apply it to our life. Give us wisdom, looking at life from your point of view, and understanding, being able to apply it to our lives, please, and accept it fully. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If we look at verse number 23, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Truly, we need to have the right motives in what we do. And here we see a desire of righteous, and then we see the expectations of the wicked. The expectations of the wicked is wrath, anger, hardship, difficulty, wrath. Wrath is more than just being angry. It's being vengeful while you're being angry. And that's the opposite of those that desire righteousness. Those that desire righteousness, they desire only one thing, good. So sometimes good, though people may not like it, is the best thing to desire. It's amazing how our society today points these two out. The good that is there versus the expectations that end up to become wrath. So good versus wrath is what we see here. How do you get it? By righteousness versus versus wicked. Remember, anybody can be wicked. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you can't be wicked. Wicked is sin with the intention to harm others. Wickedness. And so we can be saved and still do wrong. There are many people who are saved, they're on their way to heaven, they attend church. They may even read their Bible every day. They try to do the right thing, but wickedness wins out because they allow themselves to be brought that direction. Remember, the only strength that we have against sin is the Word of God. And the only way to use the Word of God against sin is by hiding it in our heart. So you can go to church every week. You can go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, to any and every activity that's ever held by the church and still not do right. You could read your Bible and pray every day. And many of us do. And we almost think like it's a spoof of dust that God will sprinkle His dust upon us and we will just end up to be good. But goodness comes from a battle that goes on within. There's a constant fight that goes in between wickedness and righteousness. And here we see it flourishing right here. And the wicked ends up with wrath, anger, clamor. Ooh, they want to get even with somebody no matter what happens. You're driving down the road. Here's a good test for you. You're driving down the road. Somebody cuts you off or slams their brakes on in front of you or does something that all our response will tell us, are we wrathful are we righteous? I have found myself to fail that test many times in my life. Because I'm not thinking about what's going on around me. I'm not paying attention to the battle that's raging within me. And each one of us have that battle that rages every day, all day long, between good and wrath, between righteousness and wickedness. And we've got to win that battle. And how do we win that battle? By concentrating on righteousness, and the result will be good. When we allow wickedness to give its place, the result is wrath, anger, vengeance, getting even. And yet that's how many people, including myself, often behave. And the only way to overcome that is with the Word of God, hiding it in our heart, reading the book of Proverbs, seeing how God wants us to live. This is a very practical, everyday verse. Can you see how that is? It's every day. How often does this happen? All through the day. It can happen on a, you can be having a great day, walking with God, praying, memorizing the Word of God, getting victory after victory after victory, and then all of a sudden one thing happens, and boom, you find yourself angry because we gave ourselves over to that wickedness inside of us. Now, wickedness is, remember, it's just simply a sin with the desire to harm somebody else. What do they mean talking to me like that? Who do they? And suddenly we're caught off guard because we're not paying attention to the battle that transpires in us all through the day when we're not walking by faith. Faith is the other part of memorizing the Word of God that gives us a weapon against Satan. It's our shield of faith. So that when he launches that fiery dart of what? Wrath. No, not wrath. That's the result. Of vengeance. Nope, that's a result. Of wickedness. Launches that dart. By faith, we're able to block that dart by trusting in Him. Because our shield is faith. Then we pull out the sword of the Word of God and we're able to do battle in that battleground we find ourselves on at that very moment. I've talked to many people over the years about battles and wars. Some people will talk to you about the battles or wars that they've been in, others won't. And I've read much on the subject. And I find that all the time that out of nowhere, battles come. Now, there was planning on the other side, but they were just walking down the road, or they were driving their vehicle down the road, or they were coming up over a bluff, and suddenly bullets start firing. War breaks out. The battle starts to occur. Or they walked around the corner, or they walked into a building. And suddenly they started being fired upon. And immediately they have to think about, where are they at? What do I have? How do I defend myself? It's a matter of life and death immediately. And the truth is, that's the way the Christian life is too. It's a matter of life and death immediately. And oftentimes we don't think about being on that battlefield. And this verse is talking right about that battlefield on any given moment, how that battle can break out between what? Between that which is righteous and that which is wicked. And that's where we find ourselves all the time, isn't it? And that'll teach us how we talk about other people, how we treat other people, how we help other people, how to respond to other people. That's going to tell us how our day is even going to go from that point forward. Because the battle never gives us much warning. It's a sneak attack. You have more opportunity to destroy your opponent by a sneak attack rather than letting them know you're coming. And the devil's the best at it. He sneaks up when we think we're doing the very best, and boom, suddenly he hits us. So we need to be aware of that, alright? Verse 25 and 26, they all go together. It's all talking about the same thing. There is that scattereth, and yet increases, and there is that which holdeth more than is meet. but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall water also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but the blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Here we see talking about giving, caring. It's talking about increasing. How do we increase? You don't increase by being selfish, you increase by giving out. That's what this is talking about. How do you make money? How do you make your life better? How do you make things better in life? Well, by giving out, all right? The liberal soul shall be made fat. I don't know how much plainer it can be. What's that mean? That means somebody who's liberal in politics? No. That means somebody who's liberally gives of themselves, gives of their money, gives of their time, gives of their talents, gives of what they are and who they are. When we spend ourselves to others, that's our purpose. Rather than being selfish, look at it in verse 25 again. He is made fat. He profiteth it. That's being profitable. So the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall water also unto himself. In other words, the more I give, the more is given back to me. The more I give out there, the more I water, I'm watering me at the same time. So the more I go out and give out the gospel message, the more it helps me as well as it helps the person I'm giving them the gospel message to. So it doesn't matter what it is. The more good I do, the more right I do, the more righteous I live. Not only am I helping others, but it's also helping me at the same time. Why? Because we're all a part of it. See? So the liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall giveth out much water then will be watered as well. But he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. So when you withhold stuff that's good for others, people get angry with us. Let me put it this way. I used to say this in a sermon years ago. I often used to say this. My wife will remember this as soon as I started very clearly. Let's say that you have cancer. And I have the cure for cancer. And it's just a little liquid. You put two drops on your tongue. And suddenly all the cancer in your body is completely gone. And I have that. I've made it. It works. I know it's worked. I've tried it on myself. I've watched other people get that same cure. But then I see that your loved one has cancer. Maybe your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister or your husband or your wife. Or your grandma or your grandpa. And I have that in my pocket. Boy, I have that little vial in my pocket and all it takes is a couple drops on the tongue and the cancer's gone. And I keep it in my hand and I got it ready, but I just hold on to it. And I never give it to your loved one. Because I'm selfish. I keep it just in case I need it. I hoard it for myself. Or I don't even have enough compassion on others to even think about giving it to somebody else. I'm so selfish I don't even think about anybody else. And then your loved one dies. A very painful and tragic death. And then you find out I had the cure. And all I had to do was take off the cap, put a couple drops on your tongue, and they would have been healed from that cancer. And they would have had a better life till it was the time for them to go into eternity. Whether to heaven or to hell. But instead their life was totally skewed by that cancer. You'd be offended with me when you found out that I had the cure and I never gave it to you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's something worse than cancer. It's called sin. Eternity in hell. And we have the answer. It's salvation by grace and faith. And when we withhold that from other people and don't give, well, I'm glad I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's exciting for me, but I don't go out and give that gospel message out to somebody else, they've got the cancer of sin, they're going to die. The wages of sin is death. It is fatal. They have a fatal illness, and I have the answer for that fatal illness. It's called the gospel message. And I don't give out that gospel message. You don't give out that gospel message. Then that loved one goes to hell and burns for eternity. And then all of a sudden they find out that you had the answer and you never told them. How do you think they're going to feel? That's what this is all about. It's not just the gospel message, it's in everything. It's in Bible knowledge. It's about prayer. It's about caring for those who can't care for themselves. It's talking about helping. It's not just talking about giving money for somebody. It's talking about helping others in every aspect of life. That's what verses 24, 25, and 26 are talking about. Not hoarding for ourselves which we want. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Or in other words, gets it out there. Get that message out there. Get that kindness out there. Get that love out there. Listen, the Bible says we're supposed to love everybody, not just love ourselves. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Who's our neighbor? Everybody. Whether you like them or don't like them, whether they're short or fat or tall and skinny, whether they're black or white or rich or poor, it doesn't matter. God doesn't see any of that, nor does He care for any of that, and God is no respecter of persons. He expects us to give out His message and live before folks in a righteous way, no matter how we feel, or how we walk, or how we talk, or what skills we have, or what we don't have. We're supposed to do right regardless. Isn't that what the whole book of Proverbs is about? Looking at life from God's point of view, and when God looks at life, looks at us, He wants us to be prosperous, and so He's telling us the prosperous way for us to be. It's about busy giving out this stuff. Giving out righteousness. Giving out faith. Giving out righteous living. You know, I've often heard it said that love could change this whole world. But can I tell you, the love of the Word of God could absolutely change everyone's eternity if the Christians in this world would just decide to live like Christians. I know Christianity is being attacked all across the world right now, but can I tell you why? Can I tell you why Christianity is being so savagely attacked, especially here in our own country, the United States of America today? Can I tell you why? Because we don't live it. If we lived it, there wouldn't be something to attack. We talk about it, but we don't live it. And that's where the hypocrisy kicks in, and that's why it's so easy to attack us. Someone recently said to me that, boy, we're really going to have to work together as Christians of all faiths, of every group of Christians, to try to defend against the attack that's going against the Christians, and that'll be coming soon even by our government. And I believe that's going to happen. However, can I tell you the big thing is here? If we all lived it, we wouldn't have to worry about it. We just did right. All right. That's what those verses 24, 25, and 26 are talking about. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. The Bible says in another portion in Galatians chapter 6, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's exactly what this is talking about right here. Another aspect of daily living. What do you want from the people around you? Well, then live it yourself. Again, it runs hand in hand with what we just learned in the previous verses. We sow the right thing, we get the right results. We sow the wrong thing, we get the wrong results. By the way, every verse we've read tonight talks about that very same thing. If we go back to verse 23, the battle between righteousness and wickedness, same thing. What you sow is what you get. Verse 27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. So whatever we're seeking after, that's what we're going to end up with. Notice it comes back to ourself. It's like a boomerang. It may be in the air for a while, and you may be thinking, oh, that's good, it didn't affect me. Then all of a sudden, boom, it's going to hit us when we least expect it. Why? Because that's how life works. That's how everything cycles, and God knows that. So He warns you and I about that. Verse 28, he that trusts in his riches shall fail. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. So what the Bible is teaching us here is that don't trust in your money. The previous verses look like they're all talking about money, don't they? Verse 23, 24, 25, 26. You could easily put money in there. But that's not the aspect that God wants us to look at. That's why I really didn't bring it up there. Can I tell you why? Because he that trusts in riches shall fail. Those riches are going to fall. That's what it says. He that trusts in his riches shall fall. Because riches can't deliver us. Money doesn't give us anything. If money and popularity were the things that were the right things, then why are the rich people in such dilemmas? If poverty was the answer, then why are those that are in poverty in such a mess? Because riches have nothing to do with how we live. Living righteous has nothing to do with money. Do right. Do right. That's Bob Jones Sr., an old preacher. Old traveling preacher, started a Bible college years ago, used to say, do right. Do right till the stars fall. Do right. It's always right to do right, you would say. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. So just do right. That's what's being talked about here. And it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of how we live. Verse 29, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. But a fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. Again, we're reaping what we sow here. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. When you go against your family, when you cause trouble for your family, when you're sowing discord amongst the family, you're always going to end up in a mess. By the way, it's not just your personal family, you, your husband, your wife, your children, your mom, your dad. It's talking about your church family too. Can I tell you how many churches have been destroyed because people have gone after each other? They attack each other. They don't respect each other. They troubleth their own house. They gossip, talk behind the backs of other people. Listen, if there's anybody you ought to trust the most in your life, it ought to be your own personal family, right? Ought to be your husband and your wife. I shouldn't have to worry about what my wife says behind my back because she shouldn't be saying anything bad behind my back. My wife shouldn't worry about what I say about her because I shouldn't be saying anything about her negative behind her back. I ought to be able to trust her. She ought to be able to trust me. The second group of people I ought to be able to trust the most are my own children. I ought to be able to trust my children to protect me and me to protect them. I go to some homes and I see some families and it always breaks my heart when I hear the mom or dad running down what one of their children have done. My wife and I worked hard not to do that. Now, that doesn't mean we didn't discipline our children. That doesn't mean that her and I didn't discuss our children's behavior. I'm talking about to their grandma and their grandpa. My wife never said, I never attacked our children. Do you know what your grandchild did? Now, if it was something funny, it was different. Something amusing was different. But we never said, that little rotten blah, blah, blah. And I hear that from parents. And I hear that from children about their parents. Children ought never run down their parents. We don't respect people anymore. We've lost that. We're troubling our families. And we're troubling our personal families. And we're troubling our churches. And what are we going to get for it? The wind. Nothing. You know what the wind is? Nothing. It's a bunch of air that just flows by. You'll lose everything. You lose everything. So again, we see another personal thing that comes in on a day-by-day basis, don't we? We can see how God uses this on a daily basis. So He's telling us the secrets of life. He's giving us in the book of Proverbs a wonderful illustration of how to live every day, throughout every day, in situations that arise up out of nowhere. So when your child does something wrong, who should know about it? Well, you should discipline them. They're your child. Take care of it. But should all the world know? No. Should their aunts and uncles know? No. Should their grandma and grandpa know? No. Who should know? Mom, dad should deal with it. Kids don't like what their mom and dad have done. They shouldn't run to school and say, you know what my parent did? I don't want to be a part of my family anymore. You know what? No, that shouldn't be. If they have an issue with their parents, they should go to their parent. They shouldn't be running to everybody else. Why? Because we inherit a whirlwind or a wind. Nothing. It destroys that which is there. You ever seen a tornado happen? It destroys everything. All that is a wind. Hurricane? Wind. What's wind do? It destroys. I don't want to inherit wind. I want to inherit love and compassion and understanding and encouragement and strength and prosperity, growth, development. And the only way to do that is by living right. So here's a good one for a daily verse. It's a simple one. Verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, but he that wins souls is wise. So we do have a fruit. Some people sometimes say, there's no litmus test for salvation. And I agree with that. There is no litmus test for salvation. But can I tell you what we're supposed to do because we're saved? We're supposed to have fruit. You know what that fruit is? Other people receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. How are we going to have fruit? By soul winning? Well, that is good. But can I tell you something more? If we just apply from verse 23 to verse 30, everything that we learn here, you know what we're going to end up to do? We're going to produce fruit. Because we're going to respond correctly. We're going to put good over wickedness. We're going to sow the right things in our homes and in our lives and the things that we do. And we're going to prosper. And as a result, we're going to have fruit. And the Bible says in the New Testament, fruit that remains. God wants us to have fruit that remains. He that winneth souls, that's wise. What is wisdom? Is it because they're smart? No, it's looking at life from God's perspective. It's looking at things from God's view. So the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. You know where we find that tree of life also? It's in the Garden of Eden. That was a tree that God sent an angel down with a sword to protect it day and night so that Adam and Eve couldn't take of that fruit of that tree. Prior to the time that they sinned, they could have taken of that fruit of that tree. And you know what? We would have had eternity forever without sin. All of us would have had. They would have produced and had families, and we would have never known anything that has to do with the devil. But they didn't take that tree. They took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead. So when they did that, God sent an angel down with a flaming sword to protect them from that tree. What's that? The tree of life. What's God say? Our fruit is that tree of life. When we do the right thing, we live the right way, our fruit is the giving of the tree of life, giving eternity to other people. Father, thank you for what we learned today. Thank you for your word being so simple. Thank you for these first 11 chapters of the book of Proverbs and the practicality, the day-by-day living that you give us. Now, we ask, Lord, as we go